We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Hey, we decided, welcome back to the morning show in the Kia Studios with John and you. We decided that we would ask you, since we were talking about the CD and the 8-track and the cassette and digital, on our social media, on our Twitter and on our Facebook page, saying the Best Buy will no longer sell CDs, so we have to ask, what was the first album you bought, and in what format was that album? And if you go on our Twitter and answer that, we're going to be chatting about that. It'll be one of the topics. If you don't know this about our Twitter during the show, we talk to you on Twitter on multiple topics, and we'll treat out three anywhere from two to five probably over the course of a show, I would think, right? Something like that.
Have to.
Yeah.
It's fun.
The Atlanta Falcons, of course, now standing by for free agency for the NFL Combine and for the NFL Draft. All of it is ahead for what should be an interesting offseason. I have a sense that the Falcons are going to have a pretty good offseason. And when I say that to you, my sense is that I look at the success of the team over the last couple of years, the belief that this team is still has the ability to peak, that Atlanta and that stadium are a destination, and that it's like to Dontari Poe last year, and to Alex Mack and Mohamed Sanu the year before, a coach and a stadium and a franchise that you want to play for.
I agree. I agree that that's the case. Money still drives players, though. Let's not get that misunderstood or misinterpreted. And Dontari Poe was in a position where he had to kind of prove himself before he got back out there. Now, granted, there were some other opportunities that he had, but not one that would have been presented to him like I think the Atlanta Falcons presented to him. Especially, you know, playing in Kansas City and you know, being a playoff team and everything. He wanted to probably, you know, keep that streak going, you know, ring chasing, if you will. So, yeah, there's going to be some decisions that have to be made. But I think Atlanta's a sexy spot to land if you're looking to contend and you want to go to a great place to live. Yes, definitely a place.
Well, a lot was made about the fact, too, that we have a new quarterbacks coach in Greg Knapp. And that was, you know, however many quarterbacks coaches Matt Ryan's had to go through. Well, same for the running backs, because now you're going to have a new running backs coach, because Keith Carter's left to be elevated from running backs coach of the Falcons to the offensive line coach of the Tennessee Titans. And so that running back core is going to have a new coach. Of course, you may have two to three new members of that running back core this year, because, you know, Devontae and Tevin at the moment aren't going anywhere. But I could see a change of fullback. I could see, you know, them working out another guy to be the number three running back, even though I think Teron Ward keeps beating people back because he keeps doing a really good job.
Yeah, he did a good job. He did a good job this year. I know a lot of people think about that game, the last game that he was in where he missed that screen or that impromptu screen pass that was thrown to him.
Yeah, he catches that. He ain't going nowhere, right?
Nah, he's not. He's not going anywhere if he catches that pass. But, yeah, it's a sign of how good your team is when your coaches are being pilfered the way that they are. Granted, it weakens you, but it also gives other people opportunities to elevate, and it also gives the players, in some instances, a chance to learn something different or learn something new or learn more about the position by learning from other people. You know, and I know a lot of people probably look at that and say, oh, man, it's kind of weakening the team. In a sense, yeah, but it's also giving you an opportunity to grow and see things from a different perspective. And sometimes, you know, it's like with anything in life. You take what you need from it, and you grow from that. And that's what you do.
You know, here it is, the offseason, and one of the things we know in the offseason is that everybody likes to make a list. And Pro Football Focus is running down its list of the top 101 players currently in the NFL. So far, two Falcons, they've released 101 to 51. Now they're going to release 50 to 1, pardon me. And so far, two Falcons have made the list in the top 100. Grady Jarrett came in at number 84, and Matt Ryan came in at number 58. Now, before our fans get all worked up about this, it's just their opinion, understand. And having said that, I only see two more Falcons making this list. I don't see a third. I see two more making it. Julio, right? The Joneses, Julio and Deion.
Yeah, Deion probably be high. Yeah, behind the list. I think Deion, yeah. I think Deion will be there.
Perhaps Adrian Claiborne?
Nah.
No. He's not going to be above Grady.
Age, because of his age. Only because of his age, Wendy.
Well, also, he did have 9.5 sacks, but 6 of them came in one game against a Barstool. So I think people do hold that against him, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. He still went out there and performed, but I think people will hold that against him and keep him off. Because if Grady Jarrett was dominant at times this season, and he's only 84, that's kind of, I mean, to me, that's kind of low for Grady. But
well, you look at the D tackles in the league now, not just the Fletcher Coxes or the Aaron Donalds. I mean, just the play of D tackles in the league. There's some pretty good D tackles in the league. What's the dude's name? I can't think. His name escapes me down there in Tampa Bay. Batman. He's a big
Gerald
Batman
McCoy.
Fan. Gerald McCoy. Thank you very much. Gerald McCoy, big Batman fan. There's some really good.
Yeah.
There's some really good D tackles in the NFL right now. And Grady Jarrett is getting his. To be in your third season and to make that list like that, and you're still climbing and you're still getting better, that's pretty impressive.
No, it really is. I mean, he's turned into a truly great player, and he is the kind of the core. The one thing is true of Grady over the last 2 years, he has been the most consistent player on that defensive line, and he has been kind of the thing everything else is built around, and rightfully so. He's kind of earned that mark. But if Grady's 84, Adrian's not making the list. I know somebody else has said, where's Devontae Freeman going to be? Well, my answer is he ain't going to be on the list. I mean, if your list is getting down to the top 50 and Freeman's not already on it, I mean, considering how many running backs may be in the top 50, 4 or 5, I'm thinking Le'Veon Bell. I'm thinking Todd Gurley. I'm thinking maybe Kamara. You know, I mean, you know, it's certain Zeke Elliott. I mean, I don't think Devontae makes it. But not that, don't be mad about that. The only thing I would be kind of mad about, a little miffed about, would be if Deion Jones didn't make it, because you want to talk about a guy who's not getting his due? Deion Jones.
He's getting his due. I mean, he's going to get it. I mean, you know, I know it was because Kegley was a little banged up, but he made the Pro Bowl. I think people are starting to realize how good this young man is and how much of an impact he has made. And, you know, some would even venture to say he's kind of been in that trend of how the game has changed a little bit as far as the middle linebacker position is concerned. I mean, he's a middle linebacker, but he has the range of a safety. I think it's safe to say that he has a range of a safety.
Mm-hmm.
Or somebody that can, you know, he's not a liability in coverage. Let's just say that. He is not a liability in coverage. He can do it all. And that's what your middle linebacker, that's this day and age middle linebackers. They have to be able to do it all.
He's the evolution of, to compare it, Curtis Lofton, who was here and drafted in 2008. He was your prototypical two-down linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
The reason they didn't re-sign Curtis Lofton was they saw him as a two-down linebacker, and they wanted to move forward. To even back then with Mike Smith, they wanted a guy that could be on the field for all three downs at middle linebacker. Deion Jones is the evolution of the middle linebacker that's a three-down linebacker that's on the field constantly. He's a smaller size guy, like compared to Luke Kuechly's a little bit bigger, but not much. And their range is, I think Deion's probably got more range. It's the evolution, like you said, Hugh, going from where it used to be two-down linebackers and you need to come in to where it's nickel 70% of the time, and you need a three-down linebacker that can play every down.
Well, one of the things that's true about Debo is that he has a penchant for making big plays, game-saving plays. And so, you know, as he continues to do that, because there's no reason for us to believe he's not going to continue doing that, game-changing, game-saving plays, it's what he does. And as he continues to do that, his stock will elevate. I'm not really worried about it. I'm not really worried about the fact that what I see, you know, 4 Falcons players on the top 101 list of this particular site at Pro Football Focus, I'm not overly concerned about that because, I mean, frankly, given my choice, I'd rather have 22 guys that rate – if you rate the players 8 out of 10, I'd rather have 22 guys rank as an 8 than 5 guys as a 10 and 17 guys as a 4, you know, which some teams are, by the way. They'll have 5 or 6 star players and nothing else. We've seen that team before. You know, great star players and nothing else. Now, I'd rather have that consistent team that can do something. Of course, you know, I mean, or you have just that one superstar that can kind of put you on your shoulders and carry you, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers. Carry bad teams, you know, or teams that are marginal anyway without them. This is the morning show from the Kia Studios on this Wednesday as we get ready for Hugh's going to the parade tomorrow in Philadelphia. Going to be at the Eagles thing. You're going to be, I guess you'll join the morning show tomorrow, won't you? You'll join one of the shows from up there, right? I'm putting you on the spot here. But.
Yeah, you did, John, and we didn't get a chance to really discuss this off the air, but that's okay. This is just how we do it. But we're trying to work that out now. We're definitely trying to work that out now. So me and Bo have been in discussions. I know that tomorrow's going to be an action-packed show, and we're trying to figure out where it is I can potentially, you know, fit into that. So we haven't really, you know, worked those out yet.
Because I thought about this. Hugh,
what?
Can you hear us?
No.
No, it's not going to be. It's not going to be like that. No, we're not doing that because it's going to be cold outside. I've been living in Georgia for, what, 3-4 years now?
Uh-huh.
I'm not about to be. And I'm running around in hospital pants on a regular and shorts. Do you really think that I'm going to be standing outside at anybody's parade for hours on hours waiting to see somebody? No, we ain't about to do that. Now, little Hugh might do that. And I'll have him, you know, close by. Like he'll be somewhere where he'll be in eye shot of me. But we ain't about to do that. Not this Hugh right here. Not this one. Nah, we're not about to do that.
And speaking of that, I haven't seen little Hugh in a moment here. I would imagine he's not so little anymore, right?
No, he hasn't had his growth spurt yet. We're still waiting. I'm like Johnny Bench waiting. You know, we still go to the gym. Still waiting for him to have that growth spurt to turn into that little beast that we all hope that he will be. So, yeah, no, he hasn't had his growth spurt yet.
Yeah, the Philadelphia Eagles will have their parade tomorrow. They're talk of ginormous crowds in Philadelphia, but then Hugh brings up the fact that the weather may be a little dicey. I don't think that'll matter. I think this is going to be the biggest parade. Every town has this, Hugh. Every town has that team that when or if they were to win a title becomes the parade that's above all the rest. For example, when the Cubs won the World Series, that was going no matter what the Bears, the Blackhawks, the White Sox, the Bulls, the Cubs are going to have the biggest party, right? It's just the way it was. I mean, they're the team in town, so to speak, like the Cowboys are the team in Dallas. Every city's got that team. In Boston, that team is absolutely the Red Sox. You know, I mean, in New York, I would dare say that in New York, that team is the Knicks. That's the team that New York wants to, I mean, it'd be close between the Giants, the Yankees, and the Knicks. But I tell you what, if the Knicks ever won the NBA World title again, man, that party would be bananas. Because you got to remember, there's so many fans in New York who don't like the Yankees because they're Mets fans, right? And when it comes to the Knicks, they're not, there's Nets fans that don't like the Knicks. Please, there's six, okay? They live in one section of Brooklyn, all right? I mean, no, the Knicks would be huge. So, and in Philadelphia, I think I'm right that of all the teams, the Flyers, you know, the 76ers, the Phillies, and the Eagles, and especially given it's the Super Bowl in the history, that there's no team in town that would be bigger than the Eagles parade.
Yeah, it's going to be huge. I mean, I said, I've had friends that I've talked to overnight. There are people that are on my Twitter talking about they're leaving Atlanta, heading up to Philadelphia right now as we speak to get ready for the parade and try to find rooms. There's not a room to be found within the city right now. It's not a room. And just trying to make arrangements as we speak. I am trying to make arrangements to figure out where I'm going to stay. I mean, I'm not too much worried about that because I know enough people up there. But, yeah, it's going to be bananas.
And how long a drive is that?
It's like it all depends.
Well, for you, it's much shorter than normal people.
For me, it's gonna be the standard 10. If it was just me by myself, I could probably make that an 8. I could probably do 8.
Wait, you shoot up to Charlotte and go north? Is that the
No, I just go what 85? 85 turns into 95. But I don't know. You know, me and little man, I'm not in a hurry. So, you know, we might do the leisurely thing. We might make some stops, and you know, I'm pretty sure we're gonna have to stop a few times for him. So, you know, just going to make it a little leisurely trip. I might even take a different way up north. So, you know, who knows? I got options.
Well, have a great time.
Oh, I definitely will have a great time. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, well, you have to understand, I have serious envy for you because I wish I were in your position because I was so close to it, too. But I'm vicariously enjoying your success here as an Eagles fan.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
There is serious issues with the Colts head coaching job. Josh McDaniels the Colts tweeted out, welcome to Josh McDaniels. And by the way, the news conference is today. And late last night, Josh McDaniels called up and said, yeah, you know what? I'm not coming. Whew. This is a problem. A huge problem. And we'll get to discuss it next. And now, the very latest here on a Wednesday from the National Football League, and boy, is it raining down from the great American state of Indiana. They are some kind of way right now this morning in and around the capital city of Indianapolis about what happened to their franchise last night. The Colts are the welcome back to the Morning Show with John and Hugh. Last team to hire a new head coach among the seven that hired new head coaches this year. And so 3 weeks ago, they came to an agreement with Josh McDaniels, who was at one time, albeit very briefly and not very successfully, the head coach of the Denver Broncos, who later got let go out of that job and ended up as the offense coordinator for Bill Belichick in New England. And 3 weeks ago, the Colts agreed to terms with Josh McDaniels to become the new head coach. And in the process of those 3 weeks, they were hiring assistants. And yesterday, the Colts tweeted out, hey, you know, we're getting ready for the big day. Congrats, Josh McDaniels named as our new head coach. They followed that tweet, Hugh, with another tweet that said the news conference will be Wednesday at such a time, 10 in the morning, I believe, at the Colts complex. Come welcome Coach Josh McDaniels. And an hour later, guess what? That wasn't going to happen so much.
They got egg on their face. They got embarrassed. Like, yeah. It's almost like being stood up at the altar when they're about to sign that, like you're about to get married, and then all of a sudden the bride or the groom just run away. He runt off.
You know, that's a good analogy is exactly what happened.
Yeah, and now you look stupid. Now you look real stupid.
Well, and in embarrassing the Colts, Josh McDaniels embarrassed himself. He elects to stay with the New England Patriots and spurn the Colts after, again, hiring assistants, all right? And the Colts say they're going to honor the contracts they've already hired, already signed, pardon me, with the new assistants that are coming in. Whoever the new coach is going to have to honor those contracts.
Yeah, but that puts the new coach in a bind because what if the assistants aren't running the defense that the new coach wants? So he's hamstrung for a year. I'm pretty sure it's going to be a basic defense, but he might not agree with the concepts or the philosophy of blitzing or non-blitzing or you know, playing the coverage or like being in an umbrella coverage or zone coverage. Most defenses run the same thing, you know, for the most part. You know, you have a few teams that run the 3-4 or you have teams that run hybrids, but still, when you don't have the say to hire your defensive coordinator, it kind of puts you in a bad spot. It makes you feel some kind of way, especially coming into a job saying, listen, this guy's staying. What if y'all don't fundamentally agree on whatever, you know? Maybe he's a guy that puts, like, what, ketchup on his Chick-fil-A and you don't like that. It might be some personal like that.
You know, I got an idea here. Just looking at this because I just wanted to check on this. The new defensive coordinator that Josh McDaniels hired to be with the Colts this year is a guy named Matt Eberflus. He was the linebackers coach with the Dallas Cowboys, right? All right. So Matt Eberflus, the linebackers coach of the Cowboys, comes in, and the Colts, Jim Irsay and Colts are saying they're going to honor the contract. Given the fact that McDaniels is out, Mike Vrabel, who was their second choice, took the job in Tennessee, and that they're down to, like, choice number four here anyway, maybe you just tell Eberflus, guess what, you're the coach this year, and just do it for a year, temporary, given how late it is. You're the head coach for a year, and then go into a coaching search after that. I don't know. Maybe that's just a thought, because they are behind the eight ball. It should be noted that late last weekend, about 3 days ago, news started to filter out that Andrew Luck might need another reconstruction on his shoulder and may not play this year.
But and that was some of the things that people hinted as might being the reason why Josh McDaniels left, knowing that he didn't have a quarterback. I don't think so. I think that if that was the case, if you really wanted a quarterback and you know you're the head coach, you could make that decision whether or not you want to move on from Andrew Luck, even though they paid him a gripperton, you know, and get a young quarterback. But and you know, if you get an opportunity to be another head coach, you want to kind of make it right from your last, you know, situation that you were in. So yeah, I think he was promised the New England job. That's what I'm going with. I think that he was promised a New England job. He already knows what it is up there, and that's what he wanted to do.
Well, the reports are out that Belichick is locked in for 18. And that one of the things that weighed on McDaniels, and it only became recent with the move approaching, was moving his family. Obviously, he moved his family in 2009 when he took the Denver job. And then again, after the 2010 season, he went to St. Louis, was there for a year, and then went back to New England. And basically, I believe he has four children, and they're saying that was a big part of his decision to stay was...
Well, he should have never agreed to take the job in the first place.
Well, I don't disagree, But I think what this came down to was having so much time to think about it, the doubts creeped in, and he developed. I'm not taking it up for him. That's how he developed cold feet.
I don't know. This is what they're saying. You want to know what they're saying in Indianapolis this morning? Get this. Here's the Hugh, the Indy Star this morning, the big newspaper in Indianapolis. Greg Doyle, who's the big writer for the Indy Star, was with CBS for years. This is what Greg Doyle writes this morning. This is his column. Be embarrassed, Indianapolis Colts, but also be relieved. Josh McDaniels is a punk and a loser, but he's not your punk and he's not your loser. And now he's not your head coach. Thank God. Imagine knowing what we know right now, writes Doyle. Inflicting upon this franchise with that fraud. Make no mistake, he is one of the biggest frauds in the NFL. He confirmed it again last night after agreeing 3 weeks ago to terms with the Colts to become the next head coach and after hiring multiple members of his coaching staff after arranging to fly, because he had already arranged to fly Wednesday morning from Boston to Indianapolis on Jim Irsay's jet. He had already been booked it to be introduced at the news conference. Josh McDaniels backed out. You know, this is really, it reflects poorly on Indianapolis. I think this reflects worse on Josh McDaniels.
Yes, Daryl, your hands up.
People do this every day in their walk of life. They could have a job and then they decide, well, maybe I can go try to see if I can try to go get something else.
Do those people hire other people to go along with them?
Well, those people are still getting paid and they're still being honored. So, I mean, I don't understand what the big backlash is.
He
had a change of heart.
It's not being a man of your word. Like,
he had a change of heart, though.
I hear what you're saying, and that's the world that we live in now, but I grew up old school. And like that Scarface, he said, all you have in this world are two things.
So is Kraft in on that, too?
If
Kraft paid him.
Kraft paid him, but you are a man of your word. And if I give you my word as a man, then I have to honor my word. Because, you know, that back in the day, your word was as good as a contract.
I understand that, but if your former employer pays you to stay.
There's no understanding this. Listen, if that's how you feel, D, that's fine. But the way I was brought up and the way that I look at it, as a man, when you give your word, if I look you in your eye and tell you, say if you need it and say, hey, Hugh, I need a ride to work in the morning. And I say, D, I got you. And I look you in the eye. So you, there's no more conversation need to be had.
That's true.
I'm coming to get you. Now, if I don't show up, then you're looking at me sideways because I gave you my word. I gave you my word as a man. And that's the same, to me, this is the same thing. You don't give your word and give a handshake and then all of a sudden break the deal. You can't do that.
So you're not allowed to have a change of heart.
You're allowed to have a change of heart, but listen. If you give your word as a man, you got to go through with your word.
But I think it's different if you have a change of heart and it just solely involves your decision. You just affected two coordinators.
And we're not talking about a job here. We're talking about multi-millions of dollars in a multiple-year contract.
And them picking up their families to move them because they want to work with you. I think if it was a solo decision and he had not hired assistants, then I think it would be a different story.
I get what Daryl's saying, too. I understand what he's saying.
And I call BS on the family thing, too.
But here's the thing, though. You're absolutely right. People do it every day. This wasn't like it was they called him Monday, and he says, let me think about it. Monday night, he said, I'll take it. And then Tuesday night, he says, hold on, I'm backing out.
Right, he had 3 weeks.
3 weeks, my butt. This started
3 months.
This a long time ago.
Yes.
He aggressively pursued a head coaching job.
He did.
And then
more than one, by the way.
But then, to your point, John, he had 3 weeks where he knew he was the guy.
Right.
And he sat on it. So, and at the 23rd hour, he backed out.
So this is why I think, you know, D's got a point, but it also goes to the point of the fact that the reports are that Bob Kraft decided at the last moment to, I don't know, double or triple McDaniel's salary, who knows, to throw a ton of money at him, right? At the last moment, even though Bob Kraft has known this is coming, why would he throw a ton of money at him at the last moment? There's only two reasons. Well, there are only three reasons, and people are speculating as to those three reasons. One, Kraft waited for this so he could get back at the Indianapolis Colts and Jim Irsay for Deflategate. I mean, he was that petty. All right, that's one. Number two is that there's something that's happened with Bill Belichick that leads Bob Kraft to believe that, you know, next year may be it for him. And he wants McDaniels to be the guy to replace Bill Belichick. And so that's, you know, that may be another reason. Or number three, even though Belichick says he's in for 18, maybe Kraft is planning to fire him.
Or could it be that you're getting ready to lose both of your coordinators and you don't want your team to go down in shambles? You still want to compete.
You still got Tom Brady, though.
Yeah, but you still need coordinators, man.
No, I don't disagree with that, but you can bring somebody, you can elevate somebody that's already on your staff.
If you don't feel like they're competent enough, and I want that, and that, I want to keep him around as an owner, I want to keep you around, Hugh Douglas.
I don't want you to go to that other place. But you had time to figure all of that out.
You could have done 3 weeks ago.
See, listen, and again, was like the ink I said,
wet.
He didn't sign a deal.
Okay, then.
I hear what you're saying, and I respect your position, but that's not right. I mean, if that's how you want to roll as a man, if you give somebody your word and you've uprooted families, then you have to honor that word. Even if my wife, like, before I even decide to take this job, I've discussed this with my wife. We've sat down and we've made a plan to uproot the kids. My wife probably went so far as to look for houses, because I've done this, to look for a house before we get there and figure out what school the kids are going to. So all of that stuff about moving your family, I don't know about that either. I mean, because every woman that is married to a man or whatever makes the decisions in their home.
Right.
They make that decision.
Three weeks ago, he agrees to the job. He goes to his wife and says, hey, Indianapolis has offered me the head coaching job. 3 weeks ago, she could have just looked at him and go, no, we're not moving to Indiana.
Well, I think it's the part of where we're at in the world where people were depending on you because you gave a lot of people your word left there where they were, and then you made the decision best for you, and you just said forget everybody else.
I'm going to run with Greg Doyle on the Indy Star. Josh McDaniels is a punk, a loser, and the biggest fraud in the NFL. I'm going to run with that. When we get back, have you ever done one of these DNA tests like 23andMe or Ancestry.com? I did one, and I got my results yesterday. And I'll tell you why I was slightly disappointed as we continue on the morning show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
They're not going to be denied this time. Once and for all.
The only place in Atlanta to hear the Super Bowl. March Madness and the Masters. Because the game is everywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Now hear this. Now hear this.
Hey, did you hear this?
Welcome back to the morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on the game. Well, wasn't so much what I heard, but what I read. So I at Christmas time, and the reason it took till now from Christmas to get it done is because the companies that do all this got slammed over Christmas because it's a Christmas gift that a lot of people give to each other. The real estate maven gave me one of those, the tests, the DNA tests, to find out your origins. This one came from Ancestry.com. Now, has anybody else done one of these? Have you done one, Daryl?
I've done one before. I told you guys.
Right.
Yep.
What were you? What were you, D?
More of an island person. A lot of roots back in Africa.
He said that kind of smugly, though.
The more
of an island person. Right. It'll do cold weather.
Most of our roots are in Kenya.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
That is neat. No, I have not done one. But I would be interested to see.
I'm thinking about doing one. I don't know if I can give him $50, though. A little cheap.
It was interesting. I got my results last night.
Hold on. Hugh just says $50. And how much is a Destiny game?
We're not talking about me on a personal.
All right, there's that. Continue on, John.
Point made, Wendy. Point made. Point
you really want to do it, Hugh? You'll do it.
So I get the email last night, and I have to say that I'm a little bit disappointed, okay? First off, the email from Ancestry could have, when I opened it up to find out what I was, it could have said, hey, congrats, John, you're a white dude. I mean, because that's all it was. I mean, I wanted something fun in there. I wanted something that was going to throw me a loop, you know? Give me a little bit of spin somewhere,
like
you know? Native American or, you know, North African or something. I wanted something, you know, Persian.
It doesn't tell you what part of Europe. It won't say, like,
no, it does.
Irish.
It breaks it down. I mean, basically, I'm mostly French, Belgium, Luxembourgian.
I knew you had some French in you.
John just said,
how do you know if someone has some French in
I'm
them?
White.
Bo?
That's it. John
you
just
and I are
going
to fight.
I'm just Bo. White.
All right, Frenchie. You back down like a Frenchman.
All right, so I got 15%. I only have 15% Norwegian, which is disappointing to me. I thought I was far more Norwegian.
I think that's what you said before.
Yeah. I'm 8% British. Though there is a couple of interesting things. I'm 5% Irish. I had no idea I had any Irish blood in me. So now I can run out there and wear green, and I say I'm 1/20th Irish.
What is your most percent again?
It's called European West. It's a combination of German, French, Belgian, Luxembourg.
You're a combo?
I'm a mutt.
Which one did you take?
We're all mutts.
Well, I just wanted to your biggest percentage of like what, but
it just it doesn't break it. You can't apparently you can't tell, you know, from
I can tell.
But
yeah, you're a Frenchie.
I said I'm just white.
John, which test did you take?
It was Ancestry.com.
Which one did you take, D?
Here was the only surprise, really, is that I am 11% Iberian Peninsula. And now that was the one little twist.
Iberian Peninsula.
Yeah, that's Spain and Portugal. And I was asking my mom, I was saying, I didn't know I had any Spanish blood in me. And I went, well, that's kind of interesting. Or it could be Portuguese, too. But there is, in Newark, I don't know if you ever went to the Spain in Newark, Hugh, when you lived in New York. There's a famous restaurant in Newark called the Spain.
No, that
has the best paella I've ever had in my entire
life.
That's
not probably one of the places I was trying to go to in New York.
Oh, man, the paella at the Spain is fabulously good. Paella is, it's too pricey for you because it is probably $50 a dish, but it's really good.
See, that's something a Frenchman would say. You know, you're glutton about how expensive of meals you eat. Very French of you, John.
All right, you got to get this done, Bo, or you cannot comment on anybody else's.
I'm not paying $50, so you can find out what I am.
$50?
I want to get it done and see.
I'm thinking about doing it.
I have like a lot of Polish in my family.
I'm thinking about doing it.
Well, Wendy Adams, I mean, how British is that name?
That's from my dad's side. So from my mom's side, though, they're Polish.
Yeah.
I want to see, I don't know, I think that's cool. That's really cool to know.
Wait. Bo Morgan, David, he's got like nine names. He's one of those guys with nine names. So you could never know what he's going to be. I mean, he'll probably be, you know, so much percent Canadian and so much percent, you know.
I'm thinking about doing it.
You better watch what you said about me,
John. You should do it. It's really cool.
I didn't say anything about you. I just was guessing.
Yeah. Just said I had Canadian in me. You better watch what you say.
I don't know. You could have, you know, I have no idea what you got in you.
I'm from America. I'm an American.
What you are mostly made of.
Bo, come on.
You know, John, I went and got my tires done at a place, Dallas Tire.
Okay.
And I've been going there for years.
Right.
They listen to the show. Uh-huh. They're big fans of the show.
Right.
They asked me why I am the way I am towards you. I hope they're listening to this segment.
Nobody knows why. You just are the way you are towards me.
Because you're a Frenchie.
Excuse me. You just ran me on the radio. I'm not going to defend myself. Come on. You know?
John, defend yourself.
Defend yourself because you're white.
Well, I was kind of—I mean, except for the Spanish blood, which is a little more Mediterranean, you know. You know, I just was like, man, you know, I wanted something fun.
I don't know about y'all, but that's the first time that I've ever heard anybody say they're just like blah. I'm just white. There's nothing else about me. I'm just white.
But you wouldn't it be fascinating funny. If all of a sudden you're doing yours and you got 7% Danish or something, you know?
John, I'm pretty sure with my family's history that I'm pretty sure that I'm pretty a little bit of everything. I'm probably like a plethora or a potpourri of different like ethnicities. Potpourri.
Didn't a lot of the French go to New Orleans and Louisiana?
That's true.
Huh.
So,
John.
Look at both. So you're supposed to be a Saints fan.
Yeah, you got a little French Creole in you.
Wait a second. I don't know what the breakdown of French versus German is, okay?
No,
so it may be more, you know.
Right.
You know,
you're a stinky town guy, aren't you?
No, I don't know if I'm more German or French or what I am.
Oh, boy, John.
You guys really need to be nice.
What are you talking about?
Let's go back in history.
John the one has started it when he came out and said, I'm just white.
What if I'm just more German?
Are you going to start tracing your lineage back?
What's that?
Are you going to start tracing
No,
your
don't you go
back?
There, Bo.
Yeah, I've already done that, yeah. But, you know, we talk about cost here, and this is no offense to Ancestry.com, but if you really want to get into it, oh, you're going to spend...
You're going to spend some money.
You're going to spend $5,000.
Oh, well...
Oh, yeah, you're going
to
spend serious money.
You can count me out.
I don't need to know my family that bad.
Well, but a lot of times families will get together and they'll pool.
Right.
And like three or four brothers will pool together and one of them will do the work and they all pay for the cost.
Oh, you mean
to
find the names of everybody?
Yeah,
you
can do it through Ancestry because, you know, and you know who runs almost all of the archives of everybody in the United States? The Mormons. And out of Salt Lake City. LDS Church has the records.
Doesn't Ilyana Van Zandt do that, Daryl? I'm going to wait till she fixes my life. And maybe she'll pay for it. I'll wait till she get ready to fix my life. No.
Is that the TV show?
I'm going to call her on you.
No, I really am.
No,
wait a minute. It was a show on TV a couple years ago because Emmitt Smith was on it.
Yeah.
Where they would find it, like your ancestors.
It was celebrities.
I'm going to wait. So somebody called me. And gave
right,
me the
right.
Service.
I remember that show.
On
right.
you.
Christine Applegate
right,
was on
right.
it.
This is who like, you are. You know, this is right. Yeah.
Fix my life and find out what I'm missing.
I'm calling Fix My Life on you for real.
Because one of the interesting things is when you get this thing is that there's another section that says see who your DNA match is, and you bring it up and it says a whole bunch of people that are like three people who are like first or second cousins who I've never heard of. I'm like, who the hell are these people? So I, you know, and then I realized I should probably be thankful I haven't heard of them, lest they be like infamous serial killers or something, you know.
But John, that was kind of funny what you said. I know they attacked you, but
we're all
from everywhere, man.
Yeah, we are all from everywhere. The point is, we're all
mutts.
You can
be from wherever you want to be.
We're all mutts.
And live in color.
Except for John. John's just white.
I'm white.
Well, I was just like, a little that disappointed.
So I knew what you were saying.
I thought it would be cool if I was like 2% Native Indian, you know? 2%.
I know what you were saying, John. Bless
said you're just
Lord.
A white guy.
I'm just a white
just
guy.
Just a white guy.
And I'm white.
All right, next, the headlines. At least I'm not a fraud like Josh McDaniels. I'm not a fraud of a white guy.
Stop.
As we continue, on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. High School Football National Signing Days today, by the way. You can join 92 on The Game, Midday Show, Rick and John broadcasting live at Stars and Strikes in Sandy Springs. That's 10 to 2 today on Sports Radio 92 on The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.